So it was a big day today. Dueling speeches. The least credible, most disgusting human being ever to be in or anywhere near the White House on one side, in one corner, and one of the most eloquent, elegant, intelligent people happens to be the President of the United States in the other. let's bring in Mark Levin, not Mark Levin, Mark Levin, RadioInsideScoop.com. He's got his own internet radio show. He was a lawyer for the Judiciary Committee and an all-around super smart inside Washington, D.C. guru type guy. Mark Levin, how did you call the battle here today?
Well, it wasn't even close. I mean, Barack Obama did an amazing thing in his speech. He actually brought his party back from the brink. There were a number of, and I hate to say it about my own party, but cowardly Democrats who were falling, not because they believed it, but because they feared the political consequences for this Republican line about releasing terrorists into the United States, which everybody knew was ridiculous. If they were coming to the United States, they're going to be in supermax prisons, which, as President Obama pointed out, no one has ever escaped from. They're not exactly trolling our neighborhoods. And they had voted 90-6 to deny Barack Obama funding to close Guantanamo Bay until he gave a clear plan. Well, he gave a very clear plan today, giving precisely what would happen to each group of the people in Guantanamo Bay, explaining why it was necessary according to our laws, according to the courts, according to Congress, according to tradition and the military commissions. He laid it all out, clear as day, and he repeated three words that we haven't heard in 8 years. Rule of law. He must have said rule of law a dozen times and the Constitution 24 times, because this is a president who understands the Constitution and the rule of law. You compare that to Dick Cheney, and all he could come up with was feigned outrage and contrived indignation and phony moralizing. Dick Cheney wouldn't even concede that the Bill of Rights and the Constitution deserve a hearing. It's all phony. It's contrived. It's feigned. He doesn't even believe our outrage is real. He doesn't just disagree with our outrage. He says we're all liars, I guess. We're fine with torture. We don't care at all if people are tortured. We're making up our outrage. That was Dick Cheney's argument. Okay. It was amazing. It's like he hadn't learned a thing in 8 years, and obviously
hasn't. When you are a sick, you know what, it's hard. I think his capacity for learning has long ago vanished, and a lot of people, and you know this, a lot of people who have known him for years on the Hill have said almost exactly the same words. I don't know this man anymore. I don't know this Dick Cheney. You know, he's not the old Dick Cheney. Anyway, I hate spending a lot of time on him. He is and should be completely irrelevant. And I think it is a Hanukkah Christmas gift all rolled into one to have him out there defending the indefensible and being the face and the voice of the Republican Party. I mean, you know, look at their options. They got Michael Steele, they got Rush Limbaugh, and they got Dick Cheney.
Right. They've got pure evil and two Looney Tunes, you know.
And we have the most eloquent, elegant, and intelligent politician that I've seen in a very long time, if not my entire lifetime. What did you think of Obama's speech?
I was very impressed. I was impressed by the way he laid it out, by he made it clear that what we're doing is not just legal, but in a firm tradition of American law that dates back to the Bill of Rights and to George Washington, that he's carefully considering the difficult balance between protecting our security and following the law, that some of his choices are forced because the courts have a role and he has to obey the courts because he believes in the rule of law, that he said that no man alone should decide the detention of any individual. A very, very powerful statement, I think, for America and for all democracies in all time, that this isn't the decision of one man alone. We don't have kings. This is the kind of thing that has to be approved by Congress and the courts. He made it very clear he was working within our checks and balances to do what is necessary to protect American security and to put these people in jail. And I was impressed even with the parts that I disagreed with. I don't agree with Barack Obama's decision not to release the photos, but he explained it in a way that made it clear to me that he had sound reasons that I don't necessarily agree with, but he'd put a lot of thought into it. It was clear that he didn't do anything peremptorily.
I think we can count on at least one thing from Barack Obama for 4 or 8 years, that he's not going to do something just spontaneously, impulsively, knee-jerk-wise, like let's say John McCain choosing Sarah Palin as his VP after spending 15 minutes with her I mean, it's unbelievable. But as so was it, who was it, Ed Schultz said, you know, just remember, we chose the smart guy.
Right.
You know, on November 4th. But really, we're talking Mark Levine, a radio host in his own right, a very talented guy, Inside DC guru, radioinsidescoop.com. Mark, you and I think, disagree on the release of the photos. You really feel like he was obligated to do so?
Well, I got to tell you, his speech pushed me back a little. I respect the president. I listened to what he had to say, and I understand his reasons. And his point was that people will be prosecuted. These photos will not be hidden from the people who matter, Congress and the courts. And in my view, we have to call him on that. We have to hold his feet to the fire and make sure that he's right. I don't think the photos should be hidden from anyone in Congress or anyone in the courts. I think the people that did these crimes should be prosecuted. That's very important, and I'm a little skeptical, but I'm hopeful that he's right on that. I do think they have to eventually be released. I think that this is the kind of thing that is part of American history, and we need to know it. I do understand his point that right now it could be used as propaganda to suggest that that is the way American troops are rather than the way we were, and to put a bit of time there. I think they have to eventually be released. I think that's just part of moving on. You have to study the past so you don't repeat it. But he did persuade me at least that this is not front and center a concern, that he'd put a lot of thought behind it. So he moved me from being strongly opposed to his decision to being slightly opposed to his decision, put it that way.
Well, as a fellow lawyer, you'll appreciate this. At least in California, they have something. I believe it's 352. Which has to do with evidence not being admitted into a court hearing if it is more, quote-unquote, prejudicial than probative.
As a California lawyer, I know that phrase well.
Okay. So I think that's where Obama was. He said, you know what, yes, there is some value to releasing these photos, but at this point in the world court, as it were, these photos are more prejudicial than they are probative. We already have our conclusion. Our conclusion is that we tortured, that there were crimes committed, that the laws were broken, both national laws and international laws. I mean, it's just overkill was, I believe, his philosophy, and I agree with that.
Well, I understand the point, although, you know, neither you nor I have seen the photos. We don't know, for example, does it repeat what we saw at Abu Ghraib, which were already horrific enough, or is there worse involved? I mean, one of the reasons not to release the photos, I fear, is because it has a political value, because it will cause people to be angry. And the question is, if it's already what we've seen before, then just go ahead and release them. We've seen the horrible stuff from Abu Ghraib before. If it's worse, I fear the American people need to know it so that we can make sure these people are prosecuted.
Well, I think those people are going to be prosecuted, and that evidence is going to be submitted to the decision makers within whatever process, legal or political, is going to happen. But again, I think, and I think you'll appreciate this, and this is a slightly nuanced point.
We don't disagree much. I think it's okay. A slight point. I agree.
Okay, no, but I'm going to get to this even more, I think, subtle point. People are saying, you know, we need to, you know, really clean it out. You know, we need to clean out our old karma and move forward. But if the photos are released now, for example, they would be associated with this current administration because the photos would not necessarily have pictures of George Bush and Dick Cheney embedded within them with dates. Right. And so people go, oh, my God, it's still going on. Obama's torturing as well. We can't trust him. And even if that is only 30 or 40 or 50% of the people, that's a lot. And we don't want to go backwards. He's going to go to the Middle East. He's going to go to Egypt. He's going to deal face mano a mano with the Arabs and Muslims in that part of the world. He's got a fantastic reputation right now in the Muslim world, a lot of positive mojo. You know, why even take a chance on injuring that?
Well, I think because it's a recognition that even by exposing it, it shows that he himself is distancing himself from it.
I think, honestly, you know, you're walking around Cairo or Damascus and you pull up, you know, the front page of that your local paper and you see these horrific photos, you know, just released by the United States. You're going to have to read a lot of paragraphs down into that article to understand, if you even do, if they even cover it, that this was past stuff. It's not still going on now. Obama is not sanctioning this. Anyway, I think...
Well, I hear what you're saying. I should say, though, that I think in Cairo and Damascus, they're going to do all kinds of anti-American propaganda anyway, including some false propaganda. I'm not so sure whether people know what's true and what's false anyway.
But honestly, listen, I'm a big believer in the power of one person to change the tone. I've seen so many times in corporations that I've worked with, you know, you've got a management team or a CEO who leaves, and then you have another management team led by another CEO. Wow, instantly everything's different. We have a new CEO. We have a new energy in Washington and in the White House. And I think, don't underestimate the power of an FDR or of a JFK or of a Martin Luther King.
Or a Barack Obama.
Or a Barack Obama, exactly.
No, I don't underestimate him. I do think the speech given today was brilliant, though. As I said on my show today, you know, it only seemed brilliant because it was the basic rule of law. Actually, the speech he gave is the kind that really a first-year law student could give. It simply specified what you're supposed to do under the law. It seemed brilliant probably because we're so used to the unlawfulness, the lawlessness of the past 8 years.
Well, that's what happens when you replace two criminals, neither of whom have law degrees, neither of whom probably understand a whit about the Constitution of the United States of America, and you replace them with a constitutional law professor at the University of Chicago. I mean, it's a pipe, it's a dream, it's a fantasy.
And one last thing about that criminal, the thing I noticed most in Dick Cheney's speech was his own fear that he himself will be tried as a war criminal. He
and
must have repeated two, three, four times, we cannot criminalize the decisions of the past administration. There are some people that want to put in jail people like me. He didn't say it quite in those words, but he did say, you know, we shouldn't criminalize this. He's worried about his own well-being,
as
and I think
well
he should be, because he broke the law.
Should, as well he should. And how much, you know, I'll buy you a beer and a fancy dinner on the day that Dick Cheney gets hauled away in handcuffs.
I fear it won't happen, Richard. That's one of the reasons I want the photos out. I fear it won't happen. I fear this president will just decide to move on. And I like Barack Obama. I have a strong supporter of his. But I don't think he will quite go that far. I just don't think it will happen.
Okay, well, that is a conversation that we will continue to have. Let's go back real quick to the political consequences of what happened yesterday. You had 90 senators, many of them, I guess about half or more than half, were Democrats,
right,
including people like Harry Reid and whatever, who made a, I think, pure and simple, absolute, hardcore, nothing else but this political decision,
right,
that they did not want campaign ads being used against them, that Senator Reid or Senator whatever voted to allow terrorists into our community.
Right.
And, you know, it's just kryptonite for a politician to be, you know, have that be used against them. Do you think, so you agree with me, it was a purely, you know.
Well, not only was it purely political, but the president called them on it. I mean, he did something extraordinary in his speech today. He said, I understand that fear will cause 30-second ads to be on TV saying ridiculous things like that we're going to allow these people in our communities. But it is ridiculous, and he knows it, and the members of Congress know it. And he also said, I thought this was great, he said, I'm not the only one in this town, in Washington, who took an oath to uphold the Constitution. Members of Congress did, too. And this idea that they can just sort of vote 90-6 to avoid all consequences, it's ridiculous. I think that even the members of Congress that voted for it knew it's just a way to put a vote in to explain to their opponents, and they're doing it just in order to get President Obama to give the kind of speech he gave today, saying what he plans to do, and you won't see that vote again.
Well, what do you think is going to happen? In other words, are we never, ever going to close Gitmo now?
No, we're going to close Guantanamo. They're going to provide the funding for it. They've given
their political vote.
It will go nowhere. They will give them the authority. They'll say that Barack Obama today explained what he's going to do, so now we can vote for it. And that way they can vote on both sides
and
be safe politically.
So, Mark, you're saying we're going to see a new vote when?
Oh, I think, I mean, the Memorial Day recess is around the corner. If not this week, as soon as they get back.
Right.
I think in any moment, certainly by mid-June, probably earlier.
Okay, so you're saying with this one speech, Barack Obama has turned around more than half of the United States Senate?
I predict it. I'd be willing to bet on it. I'll bet you that dinner that you offered me. Absolutely. This speech was that good.
Okay, great. Well, let's actually listen to some of that speech right now here on Hollywood Clout. Mark Levine, thank you so much for your analysis. And it's fun when we agree, when we disagree a little bit, but we certainly agree on the essential elements. Number one, George Bush and Dick Cheney belong in prison. Number two, Dick Cheney today was pathetic. He's just a scared little dysfunctional psycho boy. And Obama was brilliant, and we're moving forward.
Thank you, Richard, for having me on again.
Okay, Mark Levine, not Mark Levin, who is also almost as whack job as Dick Cheney. Mark Levine, RadioInsideScoop.com. Take care, buddy.